I have such a special episode today, just in time, you know, for this holiday season. I sit down with my friend Camille and her daughter, Savannah, who are previous clients, now have become my friend for life. She has such an important message that I just had to share with the rest of the world. She is one of the most amazing human beings on this planet, and I just want everybody to hear her story and hear her message. It's so powerful. She's doing great things in our community. If you have any spare change or any kind of money to donate, you would be doing a huge service in the prevention of suicide and also for those that are left behind. Her organization is called Parker Strong. I've left notes in the show notes of how you can do that. I hope everyone enjoys the episode. If you want to reach out, you know how to reach me, and let's get into it. Hi, welcome to episode 12 of my podcast, and I am naming this episode Story of Hope. Just want to thank you for tuning in today to listen. I'm sorry it's been so long since I've last done an episode. I'm a full-time mom, and that just kind of takes up a lot of my time. But I have a very special episode today. I have a... You're a friend now, right?
Yes, I'm totally your friend. You're stuck with
That's
me.
That's right. Forever. I have a friend here and client. Her name is Camille with her daughter, Savannah. Say hi, Savannah.
Hi.
And I just wanted to give you a little bit of backstory on them. And then we can go into today's message. I met Camille through a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. That gave me her information, and she said, hey, I really think you need to give this lady a reading. And I was like, all right, let's do it. Everything just kind of lined up perfectly, came over to her house. We had in, like, to be totally honest, like one of the most amazing readings
I agree.
Ever. And I say that I'm going to try really hard not to get emotional.
Good luck.
I know, we're probably going to cry through this whole thing. I was able to channel one of the most beautiful people I've ever come in contact with, honestly. She has, I hate to use the word lost, but I'm going to use it for yes. wording purposes, but she has lost a son.
Yes.
To suicide. Mm-hmm. And
he was 16.
He wanted me to make this podcast episode today, so I'm dedicating this episode to Parker. And the main message that I wanted to bring across to everybody listening today was, one, to bring comfort to those that have lost, right. you know, someone to suicide, to bring comfort to those that have lost, and to also speak to anyone that's listening that is currently wounded, that needs a sliver of hope, mm-hmm. and to know that even though I may not know you specifically, I'm sending much love to you and that there is hope.
I am as well.
Yep. So I'm going to let Camille take this away. I'll interject
sure.
questions or whatever, but I kind of want Camille to talk about her story. Savannah, you chime in okay. when you want to.
And Savannah's Parker's big sister.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So.
Although he was physically bigger than
he
you.
He was.
Yes.
Yes.
He did make sure to mention that.
Yes.
He's like, yes. I am the big little brother.
And yeah. Savannah has a twin brother, Riley.
Yes.
And Parker was bigger than Riley too. So
I think he was bigger than all of them.
He was. Yeah, he was. He was definitely on the Caraway side of the family, which sure. is, he had the tall genes.
Nice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, must be nice. We do not have
those. I was going to say, we're both vertically challenged.
Yes, okay. Vertically challenged for sure.
So, up everywhere.
Yeah, I know, same. So everywhere in my house are step stools. So.
Awesome. So
let me talk a little bit about Parker to begin with. Parker, like I said, he had just turned 16. His birthday is November 19th, 2001. And Parker passed February 5th, 2018. So it is, for me, it feels like about 7 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I will share with you that Parker was happy and healthy and vivacious and brilliant beyond anybody's imagination. I think a lot of times those brilliant kids are a little misunderstood.
Sure.
And Parker, it's so funny. Savannah used to always say that you know, we'd be driving down the road and we'd have to be Googling what are you talking about?
He's a lot of big words.
Yeah, he's the $10 yeah. words. Yeah. So, in fact, my favorite thing about Parker was, you know, Parker and I had a time there where it was just us with Savannah and Riley. We're at college at WKU, and my, at the time, husband had recently just left us all. Mm. And so it was a lot of time there that it was just Parker and I, we got to be really best friends. And so Parker would read, like, for fun, he would read like a 2000 page book.
Wow.
And of course, Riley and Savannah and I would be like, but why? And he was like, this is great. You know, look at this historical stuff I'm reading. And so he would zip downstairs to come talk to me about the book that he was currently reading. And he'd be going on and on about it. And I'd be like, now, Parker, which war was that again? And he would just look at me and say, Mom, you're so pretty. You're not so smart, but you're so pretty. That degree you have from the University of North Texas. Oh, and he'd say, bless your heart. He's like, okay, Mom, here's the thing. Remember World War II? This is how it went. So he was very historical. Yeah. He loved history. He loved science. He loved everything. He loved all things school related. Mm-hmm. He was brilliant, literally brilliant. Yeah. All straight A student and AP classes. And so one of the main points I want to make here is that Parker had it all together.
Yeah.
Parker had it together.
Yep.
He knew where he was going to go to college. We had plans to have a family vacation, the four of us, in the summer. He was going to be applying to go to Embry-Riddle and WKU to see where he wanted to land. He was planning on being a pilot like his granddaddy. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to see the world. And the main thing is Parker always knew he was going to change the world.
I think also he did have it together, but in a short amount of time, everything was falling apart.
Correct. Yeah.
So, and I think he couldn't look at the big picture.
Correct.
And that was really hard for him. And that's hard for kids that age at 16, is you just focus on the one little thing that's making your world not perfect.
Correct.
Right.
I totally agree with you. The backstory of that is my now ex-husband left us, really abandoned us very unexpectedly, and moved to Texas and really abandoned speaking to any of us. We were married 23 years and none of us had any warning whatsoever that he would want to start a whole new life mm-hmm. on this, to this level.
Right.
And to the level of he wanted to ditch his old life and start anew. And then during that time, about 30 days into that let's say bombshell that hit us, mm-hmm. that tsunami, if you will, that came out of nowhere, my dad passed away and my family was very, very close to my father. Mm-hmm. So Parker lost his granddad that he was extremely close to. And it was kind of like Savannah said, it was like a perfect storm of problems and, you know, the time of year and not having communication with his father during the holidays or his birthday and, you know, having to attend a funeral and things that a 16-year-old doesn't usually face.
Yeah.
And they sure don't face all of that in 90 days.
And they don't know how to process.
I was just going to say that. And mm-hmm. to know how to process all that information. I mean, it's not like we're given a book.
Correct.
Like, you know, when we're born, like, this is how you go through life.
Yeah.
With all these different scenarios.
No,
right.
You're thrown this terrible life event.
Right.
And you just don't know what to do with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And sure that you're thrown several giant life events at once. Mm-hmm. And Parker didn't know. You're exactly right. We didn't have the handbook.
Yeah.
Parker, to be very clear, was in counseling.
Yeah.
And we were seeing two different counselors because we knew that he was struggling with dealing with everything.
Yeah.
And so the important thing is that we were getting him help, and mm-hmm. he knew he needed some help. But
so he came to you beforehand and said,
he did.
I'm struggling.
And we had had a counselor prior. We had taken some time off because he'd been doing extremely well. Mm-hmm. And he said, with dad leaving, I need to go back to a counselor.
Yeah.
And I said, absolutely, 100%. We were there within 24 hours. We were at the counselor.
Yeah.
And he saw a second counselor the very next day. He saw a counselor the Friday before he passed away. Mm-hmm. So he was seeing two different counselors, one at school and one that we were paying for that was professional. And so we were not remiss in, you know, seeking some help. And I'm I'm glad that he recognized that he needed help. Yeah. He just didn't let any of us know how much he was struggling. We had no idea at all.
Yeah.
I cannot reiterate that enough, because Parker wanted to protect us all.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of people out there in the world feel, especially our youth.
Yeah.
They feel like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to put this on my mom. She just lost her marriage. She lost her husband. I don't want to put this on my mom that I'm struggling this much. And we're moms. We have the ability to handle anything.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people in the world are dealt that much at once.
No.
And, you know, I just think that Parker didn't know how to process it. And the morning that he passed, I will share with you, I overslept by 10 minutes and got, you know, because he was 16 and a boy,
sure,
he got a wake-up call every day.
Yeah.
So I called him like a hotel. That was awfully nice of me.
Yeah.
So I called him like a hotel, and I'd be like, okay, Parks, time to get up.
Yeah.
You know, are you up? And normally he would be like, yes, Mom, I'm up. Yeah, you know. And this morning, it was a Monday morning. We had been to a Super Bowl party the night before, and Parker was engaged. He ate a ton of food and had a great time. And we had had a great time. He was making fun of me because Justin Timberlake was singing the halftime show. And I was like, woo, that is my boyfriend.
That's right.
And Parker was laughing and carrying on with me. And he was like, Mom, you're so embarrassing. And he had a great time at the Super Bowl party. All of our friends were there. And we had a really good evening. And then on the ride home, we sang, of all things, we sang Don't Stop Believing, which was my ringtone. That's like my theme of life.
It's my mom's favorite song.
Yeah, same. And then we sang, of all things, we sang the Dixie Chicks Earl song.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious, you know. And we were laughing about the song and just cutting up. It happened to have come on the radio. And it was freezing cold, but we had the windows down. And then Parker, being who he was a kind, unbelievably kind, giving old soul. And Parker, I think, took on a lot of the responsibility, since it was just he and I, of being the head of the household.
Sure.
And no 20-year-old, no 16-year-old, no kid has to pick up where their father left off.
Absolutely.
That is really important.
Yeah.
That there are many people to step into that role. And Parker, being who he was, he's like, don't worry, Mom. I know tomorrow's trash day. I'm rolling it out. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, and just kidding. And then we walked inside, and he wouldn't like me telling this on to the world, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Really?
But since his dad had left, he had been sleeping in my bed.
Right.
And our thing was, we watched Dateline, and we would always figure out who did it before the end. That was our thing.
Yeah. My husband always guesses it.
Yes, I do too. I'm so good. I could practically be a CSI.
I'm always one where I'm like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Right. And I'm an intuitive. Like, right.
I don't know who did it.
And I swear, my husband's right every episode.
I know, so am I. I'm like, no, it's not that guy. And so Parker and I would totally figure it out. And that was what we did. That was just our little bonding time. And he had been sleeping in my bed, and you know, he put our dog Boo in the middle and be like, you know, there's Boo can sleep between us, and Boo would snuggle with him. And, and it's so funny, Nikki, because, it's not funny. It's a blessing from God is what it is. But that night he was asleep. And for some reason, I just reached over and I held his hand for hours until I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep holding his hand that night. And then he said, actually, it was the night before, because the night we came home from the Super Bowl party, I gave him, you know, he was tall. He was 5'11 already at 16.
Wow.
I'm 5'4.
Yeah.
So I kind of climbed up on him and I gave him a big kiss on the cheek. And he's like, Mom, you're over loving me. And I was like, I love you, Pumpkin. And I was like shaking him because, you know, he's so tall and he was big old boy.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker boy. And I was shaking him and hugging him and carrying on with him. And he's like, I love you too, you little Polly Pocket. He's like, he's like, I love you, Mom. He's like, you're like a little Polly Pocket. I just put you in my pocket.
That's right.
And I said, Parks, do you want to sleep in my bed tonight? I said, I know you've been in there. You were there last night, but come on and sleep with me so I don't have to be by myself. And he said, no, Mom. He said, tonight I'm really, really tired. Mm. And that was one of the things, is that Parker had not been getting regular good sleep.
Yeah.
And Parker would stay up half the night. And I now see that in retrospect.
Sure.
That his sleep was off because of worry and stress. Mm-hmm. And I think Parker was probably trying to figure out our lives that wasn't his responsibility to figure out. And he said, Mom, I'm just really, really tired. And I said, okay, Pumpkin. I said, well, if you change your mind, you can come up in the middle of the night. And he's like, okay. He's like, well, I love you. And I said, I love you too, Pumpkin. And he went to bed. And the next morning was Monday morning. And I gave him his wake-up call. And I was like, Parks, I overslept by 10 minutes. I said, I'm throwing on my clothes and my tinnies, and I'm gonna run make your sandwich. He goes, okay, Mom. I said, all right, well, I'm going to meet you in the kitchen. He goes, I said, you grab your chips and your sides and for your lunch at school. And I said, I'm going to make your sandwich, and I'll cut it in fours. And he's like, okay, great. And I said, okay, Parks. I said, I'll see you upstairs. I said, okay, Mom. I said, all right, well, I love you, Pumpkin. And he said, oh, Mom, I love you too. And about 6 minutes later, I heard a sound. Mm-hmm. And your brain does not register what that sound is.
Nope.
And I had been very, very careful. My son Riley and I had changed the code on the gun safe that we kept. We are Texan. We do believe in firearms, mm-hmm. and we believe in them for safety. And we also believe in being safe with our firearms.
Absolutely.
And we had changed the code on the safe to make sure that no one could get in. Mm-hmm. And Riley and I were the only ones that knew. What's that?
I knew the code.
Okay, so the three of us knew, but Parker did not know.
Yeah.
And we were 100% positive that he did not know. Mm-hmm. And that kid, Nikki, was so smart that somewhere on the timeline, somewhere, he had figured out the gun safe code and mm-hmm. had gotten a firearm.
Yeah.
And he loved to burn candles in his room, and all of us do, all four of us.
Yeah.
And we're big candle people. And I walked downstairs and I said, Parks, I said, did you drop a candle? I said, I heard something on the tile. And I said, Parker, I said, buddy, we got to go. We got to go to school. And I rounded the corner and I walked all the way in to his room. And I don't remember much after that. I know I was able to call 911. Mm-hmm. And I know I just started running.
Yeah.
And I know that I passed out for a minute in the yard, and my neighbors, because of the screams that were coming from my soul,
yeah,
I know that the neighbors started running out of their houses. It was, 7:40 in the morning, and they were running out in their pajamas full speed at me. And I handed the phone to my neighbor across the street, and I said, Parker has accidentally shot himself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I said. And the kindness of others is alive and well.
Yeah.
The trash truck guy, who happens to be my trash truck guy today, mm-hmm. the trash truck guy was driving by and saw me, stopped his trash truck and saw that I was in shock, mm-hmm. and literally pretty much having a seizure, and put his jacket around my shoulders.
Oh.
And said, I was sitting on my front steps, and it was February 5th, so it was extremely cold. It was about 3 degrees that morning.
Of course.
And he walked into my house and grabbed the blanket across the back of my sofa and came and wrapped me in the blanket. Mm. And then stayed with me, with my neighbors, until the paramedics and fire department and police came. And I will tell you that the devastation has been unbearable. Parker had one moment.
Yeah.
Parker had one moment. And what is important, like Savannah mentioned, is that Parker couldn't process all the firestorm of what was being thrown at him at once. And he couldn't, in his little underdeveloped, as in not mature enough mind, he couldn't separate that these temporary problems would be solved with a permanent solution.
Right.
Because this is temporary.
Yeah.
It's all temporary.
Let's say that again.
That temporary problems are not resolved with a permanent solution of taking your life.
Yes.
Temporary problems are big. They can be big. Mm-hmm. They can be you flunked a math test, or they can be that your granddaddy passed away, or they can be that your dad abandoned you, mm-hmm. or they can be that your friend at the lunch table was mean.
Right.
those are temporary problems.
Yes.
Those are temporary problems. And Parker thought the only way out was a permanent solution of passing away. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, because what it has done for those of us left behind, it has caused a tsunami. A tsunami is where the water comes from nowhere and you don't get any warnings, like a tornado warning. And the tsunami hits you, this big wave hits you, mm-hmm. and you start to drown. And you get a gasp of air, mm-hmm. one little gasp. And then something else hits you. Like, these things are like houses in the water and cars and telephone poles.
Right.
And they hit you and hit you and hit you, and you're drowning. And the only way that you survive this tsunami is you keep trying to get to the top.
Yeah.
And you keep trying to swim, and you just keep swimming. And Nikki, you are drowning in this tsunami.
Yeah.
And you have to keep, I hang on to my faith. Because if you want to know what it looks like for somebody that struggles with thoughts of suicide, I'm sitting across from you.
Sure.
To lose a child is the most unbearable grief.
The ultimate. Yes. Me, in my opinion.
I've lost both of my parents. I've lost my brother. Mm-hmm. I've lost grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, and nothing compares to the grief of losing a child. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that if you want to know what it looks like, I'm sitting here in front of you telling you I'm struggling with thoughts of suicide.
I think also going with your like tsunami thing, when someone is suicidal, they're in that tsunami. And when they take their life, they're out, but they've just thrown their whole family in the tsunami.
Correct.
And so now they're drowning.
Now we're drowning.
The permanent decision to take your life, it doesn't solve anything, because mm-hmm. now you just...
Now we're drowning.
Your family members in there.
Right.
So there's just other ways...
There's so many other ways. There's the temporary problems. And I know it feels like, and I have never, ever been angry at Parker. Mm-hmm. Never been angry at God. I have held on to my faith, and I firmly believe that it is literally the hand of God that has saved me.
Sure.
That and Riley and Savannah. Mm-hmm. I live for my children that I have still here today. And honestly, Nikki, I live for Parker, mm-hmm. because the foundation of what I've built my nonprofit organization on is that we aren't just strong, we're strong for Parker.
Right.
Because at that moment, Parker didn't feel like he could be brave enough to reach out mm-hmm. and say, I need help. I need help.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned in this last year and a half is I've learned how to reach out and say,
I need help.
I need help. And not just from my counselor, because I am in full-time counseling, not just from my, I reach out, I pray constantly, mm-hmm. honestly, but also from people that your friends, and not every friend can handle what I have.
Right.
Not, I am a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot anyway. So.
Y'all should see her. She's got like red nails, red hair.
Oh yeah.
She is a fiery person.
I am. I'm a bit of a hot mess express. So we're okay with it. The crazy runs deep, Nikki. The crazy runs deep. So one of the things that I've really, really learned, because there's Martha's and Mary's.
Yes.
And I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. There's not been too many problems in the world that I haven't fixed. And I've learned I cannot fix this.
Nope.
Like Savannah said, we are all in this tsunami, and we struggle every day to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to build a bridge in my mind. And what I hope is that everybody can figure out how to survive. Everybody would come up to me when Parker first passed mm-hmm. and say, how are you? How are you really?
I'm terrible.
Yeah. Answer do you think I'm going to give?
I'm terrible.
So it seems so unnatural to say anything mm-hmm. that I finally, out of the blue, God said to me, just spit out of my mouth. I said, you know what? I'm surviving 7 minutes at a time.
I love this. Y'all listen into this because this is so good. I love this.
7 minutes at a time. 10 minutes is too much. 5 minutes isn't enough because I'm a goal setter.
Yeah.
So you listen to my words. 7 minutes. And Nikki, as God is my witness, I would set my timer on my phone and say, if I can survive for 7 minutes, and I would sit and shake and sob, and I would say, I'm just not going to take my life for these 7 minutes. Yeah. I'm just worried about 7 minutes. I'm not worrying about 10 minutes. I'm not going to survive. I'm not worried about surviving 10 minutes. I'm going to survive for seven. Mm-hmm. And I would shake and sob and cry. And you know what I would do in that 7 minutes besides pray? I would pick up the phone and I would say, I need you mm-hmm. to come over right now.
Yeah.
And I need you to stay on the phone with me until you get to my door. And then I need you to walk in my door because I'm on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
And I have had more than one person come and sit on the bathroom floor with me for hours.
That's
hours. It's powerful.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And so the point that I'm making is it feels like you cannot survive this tsunami. Mm-hmm. These things that have been thrown at you, you cannot survive it. But if you just take this 7 minutes and you focus on those left behind,
yeah.
then you would realize there are so many people in the world that love you, that care for you, that would do, I would die for my son. Mm-hmm. I wish it was me and not Parker, that he had his whole life in front of him. I wish it was me. And no one should feel like they wish it mm-hmm. was me. And I am extremely strong in my faith. I hang on to my faith every single minute of every single day. And I know that there has got to be a purpose. And I know Parker's purpose, while it was short here on earth, his purpose is huge going forward, Nikki.
Absolutely.
His purpose is huge. So for those left behind, my nonprofit organization is called Parker Strong for Suicide Prevention and Education. And we focus on helping those that have been left behind mm-hmm. because sometimes we're a little bit forgotten.
Yeah.
Everybody focuses on the person that has gone on before us.
Yes.
That, and they are absolutely as important as those left behind. But those of us left behind
are the ones holding the pieces.
We're holding the pieces.
Yeah.
We're holding the pieces. And we're holding all these pieces in our hand. And we don't know what to do with the pieces because they're never going to be whole again. I cannot put this back together.
Yeah.
I can't undo what's been done. And if you just would think for a minute, if you're struggling, just give it 7 minutes. Give us 7 minutes and reach out to one person and say, I'm struggling and I'm brave enough to pick up the phone. And then if you're on the other end of that phone, mm-hmm. I want you to be brave enough to reach back to them and say, I'm on my way. We're going to figure this out.
Yep.
You don't have to be a counselor. I'm not a counselor. Mm-hmm. I don't advise anybody. But I'll tell you what I speak from experience, that there are countless people that will reach back. Mm-hmm. The whole point is that our motto is, you know, we aren't just strong, we're strong for Parker. So stand up, be brave, and move forward 7 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. That means you and me and Savannah and everybody else out there in the world, part of being brave is that we are brave enough to pick up the phone when we're thinking about our friend and say, man, I bet you this is a rough time of year for them.
Absolutely.
Not because they've lost somebody, but maybe they just got done with finals. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they just took their LSATs. Or maybe they just got done with whatever it is. Just because you're thinking about them, that's God saying,
let's say, lean into your intuition.
Lean into your intuition.
You know?
That's God saying, pick up the phone.
Yes.
Send them a text.
Yeah.
Pray for them. Mm-hmm. And then text them and say, I just want you to know I just prayed for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with you, but I just prayed for you.
Yeah.
And then if you keep having your intuition, that's the good Lord speaking to you. And when your gut says, pick up the phone and call Nikki. Mm-hmm. That's the good Lord saying to you, pick up the phone and call Nikki.
That's right.
Listen. Mm-hmm. And reach out. It's those of us that are regular old people out there in the world walking around. You want to know how to make a difference in the world? Just pick up the phone.
Yep.
And then second, put your dadgum phone down.
Put
your dadgum phone down.
Be present.
And be present.
Yeah.
And go and show up at their house. And go and show up and bring a chocolate cake. Or show up and say, I can never remember which one's Martha and which one's Mary. But I'm the first one that goes and folds the laundry. And I'm going to do something.
Sure.
I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. And I cannot fix this. And that has been the hardest struggle in my life. In this tsunami that we're all still in, is the waves and waves and waves of the people affected, Nikki. Mm-hmm. through this, through Parker's passing, they're endless.
I was going to say, it's not just you.
No.
It's not just Savannah.
It's not just Riley. It's on and on and on. It's Connor in Texas that was his very best friend that didn't have any warning. It's Skip Wheeler, that's Uncle Skip, that talked to him every morning at 7:30 on our ride to school. Mm-hmm. That he talked to him every morning on our ride.
Yeah.
And he had no idea. It's, you know, Aunt Stacy, who talked to him all the time, and especially during that time after his father left. Mm-hmm. None of us knew.
Even, like, someone in his class, like, he could have sat right next to someone, and then they realize how permanent taking your life is. He will never sit next to you.
Right,
again.
And they weren't even necessarily friends. Right.
His friend Liv has been so affected by this journey of this journey we're now all on, this road, Nikki, that we don't want to be on.
Right.
I don't want this road. Mm-hmm. None of us want this road.
Yeah.
And what you have to stop and think is, what will I do to the people that love me?
Yeah.
What will this do to them? Get out of your way for a second. And it's so hard not to see past your own pain.
Yeah.
That your struggle is a temporary problem. I promise you, whatever it is, it's a temporary problem, and we will help you fix it. I want to talk about some statistics with,
which is staggering to me.
It's an epidemic, Nikki.
It is.
It is an epidemic. Savannah wrote a college senior paper.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah. Everywhere you look, from the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Mm-hmm. You think about all the cancers out there.
I know it.
You think about the car accidents. Yeah. You think about all the ways that people pass. And this is the 10th?
10th reason? Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And this is preventable.
Absolutely.
Okay. In 2017, 47,173 Americans died from suicide.
That's
50,000 people.
And 50,000 families.
That's a large city.
Yeah.
That's a large city. Mm. In 2017, there were 1,400,000 suicide attempts.
Wow.
That's 1.5 million people.
Trying
to reach out and scream.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah.
In 2015, suicide and self-injury cost $69
billion. With a B. Wow.
In our economy. The age-adjusted rate for suicide in 2017 was 14 per 100,000 individuals. 14 people in 100,000. That's staggering.
That is staggering.
And I will tell you, Nikki, that the number has risen in 2019.
And that's what I thought I had read somewhere.
The number has risen dramatically.
I think I read somewhere it was like one suicide death per every 20 or 40 seconds.
It's every 20 seconds.
It's
staggering.
I can't even wrap my head around.
No. So 70% of white males in 2017 mm-hmm. contributed to suicide deaths.
Wow.
I read an article that said white middle-aged males are the number one people that take their lives. And so this is not directed to any particular group. We have veterans. We have youth.
It doesn't discriminate.
We have, you know, let's just call it in air quotes, a 43-year-old woman sitting in front of you. That's air quotes. you know, there's everybody is affected. There's not an age. Mm-hmm. There's not a stereotype. There's not a socioeconomic group.
You said white males were leading.
Yes.
I think a lot that has to do with that is the stigma that men can't be emotional, or they can't show emotion, they can't get help.
They internalize it.
Right. And I think one of the biggest changes that needs to happen is that stigma needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because
I agree.
You're dismissing a huge category, the people who are most at risk.
That's 70%.
According to the statistics.
Right. And that was from 2017. Right. The numbers have risen horrifically.
Mm-hmm. And I think I remember reading somewhere too that it was number two, like I should have done my homework and researched this. Minors, you know, folks mm-hmm. that are under 17, I want to say it's a leading cause.
It is the leading cause.
Yeah.
It's the leading cause of death.
Which is, like you said, preventable.
It's preventable.
You know? And I want to back up just a scotch. Is that even a word?
Yeah, it's a scotch. Okay. A scotch. I'd say okay. it all the time. Don't okay, worry. Like, it's a scotch in my house.
Somebody,
is fine.
Somebody will message me and be like, girl, that's not a word. So I did this reading for your family.
Yes.
3 weeks ago?
Yeah,
three weeks ago. And just to preface, I knew nothing
right.
about you.
No.
Except
we were not acquainted at all.
Yeah, we'd never met. I knew your first name.
Right.
And your address, obviously, because I came to your house.
Right.
but that was it. That's all I knew about you. And I found it so interesting that this reading was so different for me. Not that I haven't dealt with suicide before, because sure. I've had clients that have had loved ones that have, you know, passed from suicide. Mm-hmm. But your son's message was so powerful that I wanted to share it, if you don't mind.
I would love that.
So in our reading, he has been the only spirit to come through that has said, well, first he did mention the fact that it was just a moment in time. And just like you,
that was not the life he led.
Right.
That was just a moment.
It was just a lapse for a moment. But he also made another powerful statement, and he said that if he would have known how much grief this would have caused his family, including, you know, you and you as well, and everybody involved, mm-hmm. that he wouldn't have done it, which I think is so powerful, because I've never had a spirit come through that has said, I wouldn't have done it.
Right.
And I just feel that that is such an important message to anybody that has had that feeling mm-hmm. or that thought of that. You know, like you have said, the folks that are left behind picking mm-hmm. up the pieces. I love chatting with your son. I've learned more from him in like 3 weeks time
than that's amazing.
Learned in my like entire life. I have continued to have conversations with him. He always comes to me on my walks and wants to chat. As a matter of fact, he was the one that wanted me to do this podcast today. He was so excited. He was like, you've got to talk about this.
Especially this time of year.
Especially this time of mm-hmm. year. He wanted me to make note, this wouldn't just be for those that are left behind. Of course, this is
right.
going to be for those that are
struggling.
That are struggling sure. and are left holding the pieces that have lost a loved one. But also the bigger message would be to those that yeah. have, that are having, currently having these thoughts or
yes.
have had these thoughts, you know, to reach out and to let you know that there are other ways.
There are other ways.
And that was such an important message mm-hmm. that I know that he wanted to bring,
yes,
to bring forward. I would love for you to talk about your foundation, because I think it's so important. Your work on this earth in the terrible way that it had to get here is so important. Not just, obviously for the folks that you're helping, but also to continue Parker's
legacy. He left a big legacy.
Yeah. Because
he left some big shoes.
He is working through you and he's working through your organization. So if you could just kind of tell us, I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but
yeah, we're very based in faith. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be here today without my faith.
Me either.
Yeah, same. I know we both have had some big, I don't think any of us would.
No, yeah.
So one of the things that we try to focus on, you know, it's Parker Strong for Suicide Prevention and Education. We are official in the state of Tennessee, and we will be our own nonprofit 501c3 nationally in the next couple of weeks. On the national level.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
What we try to do is reach out to those who cannot maybe afford to help themselves,
sure.
to plug them into organizations that would be able to give counseling. There's grief share. The counseling and counseling for those that struggle and counseling for those left behind, both are equally as important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those of us left behind, we don't know I don't have a why. I don't get to answer my why.
Yeah.
And
I think that is that's the number one struggle.
Right.
The pieces.
Right.
You know, like why.
And not just suicide, but all people that lose their loved ones. We are like, but why would this happen
mm-hmm.
at this time? So we have tried to, the goal is to plug people in that couldn't necessarily afford to do that on their own. We give them, we offer scholarships to those that need counseling. And I also travel around speaking at high schools and colleges.
That's great.
About suicide prevention. I worked with the Jason Foundation last April. It's a local organization here in Hendersonville that does great work with suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. They are actually also working on the national level to get some laws changed that Savannah is very passionate about our mental health system, mm-hmm. to get some national funding going. Ultimately, what I'd like to see in a global sense, wouldn't it be great if we could have a walk-in clinic for those that are struggling?
Sure.
Because odds are that you're not probably struggling at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe you are, but a lot of times we're struggling at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we had like the urgent care of suicide prevention in each county?
Yeah.
Granted, it might not be around the corner from your house, but what if we had that in each county,
mm-hmm.
across the nation?
Yeah.
Like a 24-hour licensed professional that you could walk in and say, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm desperate.
Yep.
So, you know, on a global level, that's what I would love to see, is the very, very big picture. But I believe in starting at your own front door, mm-hmm. with helping people. So I am actively getting counseling. Mm-hmm. I think it's priceless to me.
Absolutely.
I also encourage everybody out there that is struggling either with thoughts of suicide or with being left behind to seek a counselor.
Yeah.
I can only speak from my own personal experience. And I will say that the Parker Strong for Suicide Prevention and Education is, you know, we focus on reaching out, being brave, and moving forward 7 minutes at a time. Nikki, I will tell you that at least twice a week, I get a message, a text, a voicemail from someone across the wide, vast world that we're in,
mm-hmm.
that is a friend of a friend of a friend that has said, my fill in the blank, my niece is struggling, or I just lost my mother-in-law. Again, with there's no age.
Yeah.
We were at dinner at my mother-in-law's place last night, our whole family, and the next morning she took her life. What do we do? Here we are. What do we do?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Nikki, the amount of people that have reached out to me to ask for, what do I do?
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you don't stop reaching out to that person.
Yeah.
You have to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
One of my most moving stories was a Chi Omega sorority sister that I was with in college. We aren't super close. It's been a minute since I've been to school. May or may not have graduated from college 30 years ago, but lies, let's not do lies. The math. Lies, all lies. She reached out to me at 7:15 in the morning. My phone rang and I'm like, why is she calling me? Like, yeah. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I answered the phone, but I'm going to answer at 7:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I answered the phone and she said, I don't know what to do. She said, I was driving carpool. My 14-year-old daughter is in the car. I dropped my daughter off at school with her little friends and it wasn't in their carpool group, but the friend of the friend said, oh my gosh, let's call her Elizabeth. We don't know her name. Elizabeth texted this other group message that the one child was in, not her daughter, but mm-hmm. an acquaintance.
Yeah.
A neighborhood kid. I said, Elizabeth says she's going to take her life today.
Mm.
And so I said to my friend, I said, turn your car around.
Yeah.
Go walk back in that school. And you go find, I said, ask for the principal and the counselor. And I said, because they didn't even know the girl's last name.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, group texts of these little kids. And so through figuring it out on a little web, they were able to contact her mother. A web of a web of a web. You have no idea what this girl went through. It was a God-sent gift that they were able to figure out who this child was.
Yeah.
And they were able to figure out who she was, found her mother at her job.
Wow.
Through this crazy web. And it was in record time. They were able to hack into some school records because the girl had gone to school there once for a semester.
Wow.
The people above in the secret hiding place of cyber world
right.
was able to hack into it and find out where this mother was. And they stopped her in the act.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. They walked in and there was already, the preparations were done, and they stopped her and they got her to counseling. And then guess what else? My friend mm-hmm. showed up at their house, because she later found out the mom was there as a single mom. That girl would have left behind a younger sister and the mom. Mm-hmm. That's all there was there. They now go to church regularly with my friend.
Oh.
And she showed up there on Saturday night, and they had movie night. All of them
nice.
Had movie night. And do you know what the girl's words were mm-hmm. that was about to take her life? She said, "All I needed was a friend."
Wow.
She said, let me repeat it. "All I needed was a friend."
That's powerful.
And so if we could just be a friend.
Yeah.
You and I have to be the brave ones.
Right.
We have to be the brave ones, because sometimes you can't be brave when you're standing in the moment. And all we need to do is reach out and be brave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, because we're like, am I being a crazy person?
Right.
Or am I just infringing on their space? And a lot of people back way away.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to handle someone like me. How do you handle somebody that's lost everything?
Yeah.
But, you know, my immediate family.
Sure.
And I've leaned on Riley and Savannah, and I don't think at 22 that they should have had to step into the roles that they've had, but they've done an amazing job. And believe me when I tell you, they had to grow up quick.
Yeah.
And they've been unbelievable support to me. And I hope that I have been to them as well. But that's when you chime in and say, yes, Mom.
Wink, wink, wink. Yeah.
She's been great. But the important thing is that we're helping people connect.
Yeah.
We're helping people connect. That's the bottom line.
I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
So I get this question a lot. So somebody asks, you know, I have so-and-so that has lost a child.
Mm-hmm.
What do I say to that person? So I want you to answer as a mom. What do you want to hear?
Let me tell you the right answer.
Okay.
The right answer is, I have no words yeah. or comprehension of what you're going through right now. I cannot even imagine losing one of my children, but I'm just going to be here with you.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm just going to be.
And that's all that you have to say.
That's it. That's literally it. Yep. And then stop talking.
Exactly. And listen.
Yes. Just stop talking. Sometimes I just need to lay my head in your lap and you pet my hair.
Yeah.
And just, that's it.
Yeah.
Let's just watch Dateline together.
Sure.
I just want to not be alone in my grief.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes all I need you to do is hold my hand and sit with me.
Yeah.
You don't have to say a word.
I feel like, too, people think that grief is contagious.
Correct.
You know, and so
or life events are contagious.
Right, exactly. So they don't want to get near it. They don't want to
right.
talk and to
I've
you about
that.
It.
And I've had that. I've had people that I thought yeah. would be at my door exactly. that have not shown up yet. No, so.
Me too. Yeah, with my loss too.
Yes.
So
it just shows you who your real friends are.
Absolutely.
And I think some people don't have the capacity to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it takes a strong person to be my friend right now.
Yeah.
I think it takes a really strong person to stand up. And I'll tell you, Amanda and I were in the mall yesterday.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about those of us left behind, Nikki, which I know you probably have this, having lost your husband, mm-hmm. your first husband.
Yeah.
But the thing about being left behind is we don't get to pick and choose. We prepare ourselves mentally for the big ones.
Yeah.
Parker's birthday is coming.
Right.
Here comes Christmas.
I know. It's the other ones.
It's the other ones.
Totally.
We can prepare 110%. Ourselves mentally, but here's yep. what you don't prepare for.
Yep.
Amanda and I were walking through the mall yesterday, having a great day, having a great friend day, best friends walking around shopping and getting gifts, and we're in the Christmas spirit.
Next time you need to invite me.
I will definitely invite you. Definitely invite you. And then I walked on the back half of Opry Mills, and there was the Lego store.
Ugh.
And
yeah.
that was Parker's little thing, you know, that was his thing.
And you see
And
all
I stopped,
there.
Nikki, to walk in to go get him something, because yeah. your brain works faster than you can make it stop.
Yeah.
And I walked in to go get my son some Lego guys. Mm. And walking past the Lego store was the most heart-wrenching thing. And I burst out sobbing in the middle of Opry Mills. Not a good look, by the
yeah.
way. Not a good look.
Yeah.
And I stood there, and Amanda just held me while I cried.
Mm.
And she said, "Don't worry. I'll make sure nobody even looks at us. It doesn't even matter." And she just...
What a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stood in the middle of the mall and sobbed because mm. your brain fires faster when your legs swing over the side of the bed to go kiss him goodnight. And you're like, oh, I want to tell Parker this.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And so take a minute to to think about what you'll do to us mm-hmm. before you take your life.
Yeah.
It is a tsunami that I can't get out of. I struggle and I pray and I pray and I pray for God to just hang on.
Yeah.
Just hang on to me. So just know that it doesn't stop. Like the triggers are everywhere.
Yeah.
I stood in the middle of Kroger and some random stranger or some good Samaritan the day before Easter, which is appropriate mm-hmm. for our good Lord.
Yeah.
I stood there holding 3 Easter bunnies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do? And some good Samaritan in that milk row went over and just aww. Held me while I cried. So I don't know who she was, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Whoever you were in the milk row buying almond milk. Yeah. So the point is that those of us left behind, it's just unbearable.
Yeah.
I can't reiterate. It's just unbearable grief. And it has driven me to a place that I would never have thought I would be. I consider myself a pretty strong woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I've survived.
I think you're the strongest person I know, honestly. Well,
thank you. I appreciate the confidence.
Yeah.
But, you know, in 90 days, I lost a marriage, my dad, and my son, and I'm still sitting here today, and I managed to still be sober 5 years later. Right. So, I mean, 5 years of sobriety. So.
And you're kicking ass in the world. I mean,
well, I appreciate that.
You've got a great business.
And I appreciate that.
Not that matters, right. But.
Yes, I appreciate that very much for the confidence booster, but. Just know that even the strongest people out there in the world,
yes.
the ones like Parker with the smiles and the laughs and the jokes, even those people, even me, that you would never know meeting me on the street, that I struggle the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
This strong, independent, fiery redhead
is
someone that struggles.
Yeah.
And I just want everyone to take away from this that there is always someone who cares.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
And there's always a way to show grace.
Absolutely.
To people as well. I mean, obviously this time of year is pretty appropriate.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
You see it kind of more so.
Right.
But even, you know, other times, I feel how important it is to extend grace to
absolutely.
People. Absolutely. Because you just don't know what they're struggling with. And that interaction with you could be
all they need for that day.
All they need. Yeah. And how important it is to be mindful of, you know, how we act with other human beings, I feel like, is so important.
I agree.
Savannah, did you want to add anything? I know that.
I think also just going with what our foundation is about, like she said, the education part. I spoke about it in the speech I gave at my brother's funeral. But I think, you know, we've talked about how Parker was in counseling and we were doing everything we could to get him help. But we never had, even myself, like we've never had education on suicide and what suicide is and just processing your feelings. So I think as a parent, you're like, well, you know, you had him in counseling, you were doing everything you could. So what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think just it doesn't matter how old or young your child is, just educating them on what they're feeling, that depression is real and it can hit you at any moment. And that there's help out there.
And to validate, like,
right,
yeah.
That
right.
Your feelings are
yeah.
valid.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember being 16 and, like, being depressed for
me too.
Stupid things.
Yeah. Oh, we all, yeah. Now, but, now we look
and
right
and I was
like,
just, like, frustrated because I'm like, why am I feeling like this and why can I not get out of it?
Yeah.
And at that age, you don't know because you don't have the education behind it. So I think especially as parents, you need to really sit down with your kids and educate them on what they're feeling
mm-hmm.
or what they could feel in the future.
Yeah.
Because it's scary, especially when you're young and you really don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think another thing is I look at Parker's passing like depression is like cancer. Some people survive it and some people don't,
sure.
unfortunately.
Well, it is like
yes.
cancer. I mean, that's
and
how.
It is a disease
yes.
and it
yeah.
is recognized as an actual disease.
Yeah.
And, you know,
like diabetes.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to go around
yeah.
not taking your insulin.
That's right? correct. You're not going to go around not taking your insulin. And so I just think it's important to recognize that depression is very real.
Yes.
Like Savannah said, it is something that, and I think you're exactly right, Savannah, that if we had a little more education out there on that the feelings you're feeling are real and that feeling of not being able to get out of it, is very valid.
Well, and I think also, you know, for some people, like after my brother passed away, for some people, your outlet is to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. I'm not that person. I just don't go to therapy. Therapy is great. If it works for you, that's awesome. Went once, didn't like it, never went again. So for me, my thing was, I went to my doctor, I got on medication, and for me, that's what saved me. So everyone has their own outlet. It doesn't have to be...
It could be a combination.
It doesn't have to be you go to therapy and you're like, didn't work, guess I'm just screwed. You know? Right. Like, you find another way.
Yeah, and to be clear, I also did go to the doctor, and and I am on antidepressants as well. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, gosh.
It's literally saved my life. Yeah. So...
And some people, you know, I'm a huge component of this, too, is just getting physical activity.
Right.
Oh, not my God, I work out every day.
Yeah.
It's my mental
health. You can tell, Savannah.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Hair flip.
I don't do it for the physical part. I do it for the mental health. Especially in college. Like, mental health is so real. Mm-hmm. And it is hard being in college. It's hard being in life in general.
Yeah.
But for me, I had to go to the gym every day. Even if it was 30 minutes. Even if it was just walking to my classes. I had to get some sort of exercise because it was like a mental release.
Absolutely.
And it helped so much. And I, after my brother passed away, shortly after that, I started dating my boyfriend, which was very bad timing, but he knew that I loved to work out, and I was always tired because I was depressed, and he would be like, let's just go to the gym, like, you can just walk on the treadmill, it doesn't matter what you do. He was like, let's just go, and I would go, I would put my headphones in, I didn't want to be there, but once I got in the zone, it was such a good release for me, and it was such a good outlet, and I'm so thankful he made me do that. And for some people, the gym might not be their outlet, but I really do think, you know, then go on a walk, like in nature.
I was just going to say that, like how important and how powerful nature is.
Correct.
Like, just for healing. Fresh air.
Yeah. Feeling the sun on your face. I mean, like you said, I think the 7 minutes thing is genius.
Right.
Even if it's, you go outside
for 7 minutes.
Breathe in.
Yes.
Right. Close your eyes. Let the sun hit your face and just do it for 7 minutes.
Nikki, that's what I did. Yeah. I went to my back porch. I went to my back porch every day, every single morning. That's where I would go, to my back porch. And sometimes in my grief, I would look up and it would be like hours later. But I would sit and I would look at my trees and I would wait for the redbirds to come and see me.
It's like a really good healing process.
It's a very good healing. And I would do, I would pray. I would go outside and I would pray and I would just be and let the sun be on my face.
Yes.
And, you know, at the time.
You know, redbirds are a common.
Yes, I do.
Signal, yeah.
I know that for sure.
Yeah.
And I know my birds all by name. They're my fam.
Nice.
So, and I would look for my signs. Mm-hmm. When Parker first passed away, I saw more butterflies than I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I just knew that it was Parker, you know, saying, hey, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm whole.
Yep.
And I'm not wounded anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, he's been really clear with his message to you that those that are struggling are wounded.
Yes.
And I think what Savannah is saying ties in exactly with depression is a wound. Mm-hmm. It's like a gaping open wound, which is also what grief feels like.
Yes.
It's like there's a, it's like I'm walking around this earth and I'm missing my arm and I'm bleeding out and no one has noticed.
Right.
And it's like a wound where, you know, you can put a Band-Aid over it, but you'll always have that scar.
Correct.
Yeah, forever.
Right.
So, and you just have to take control of your life.
Right.
I think that was the biggest thing for me after he passed. It was just like, this isn't the end for me. You know, like I have to keep going because I have a lot more that I want to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that everyone should take that. Yeah, everyone should listen to that.
Right.
You've got big things coming, girl. I hope so. I want to thank you guys so much.
Thank
today,
you, Nikki.
You know,
you've changed our life.
Oh, y'all changed my life.
No, you've changed my life.
Your son has changed my life.
He's changed a lot of people's lives, Nikki.
He's an incredible, you know, spirit, soul.
He was an incredible person.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he is an old soul that lived a big life.
Totally was an old soul. And he's going to be so excited to, to see this out in the world.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
Cause he said to me, in time with him, he said, if this helps just one person,
that's right.
Then this was worth it.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that if one person needs to hear that, you're not alone.
Right.
And, you know, if you're feeling wounded, then you need to seek help.
Stand up,
yep.
Be brave, and move forward 7 minutes at a time.
I love that.
Stand up, Be brave.
And I'm going to put all your information to your, okay. Your nonprofit
okay.
In the notes.
Okay.
So if you're interested in donating or.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. That they
we're
can
still at the ground level. So we're just now building.
So we need more money.
Yeah. Shameless plug at the end.
Yeah. Totally get it.
Yeah. So we're going to do great things.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind. And I have no doubt in my mind that there's lots of people out there that are like, you know what? I'll take that tax donation and I will give to this. I have a strong, you know, if I think that the people listening to this will be shocked and amazed that I think you, Nikki, will be shocked and amazed that you'll see so many people that are like, the comments will be, oh my gosh, my so-and-so.
Yes.
I know my best friend's daughter-in-law, my best friend's son, it's just on and on and on. It touches all of us at one point or another. Mm-hmm. And it's just staggering that this epidemic, and we want to do just our little piece out there in the world to see if we can help. So
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. I think I'm so glad that you're on our team.
Oh, I'm totally on.
Yes.
On Team Camille. Yeah.
And Riley.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, we're friends for life.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. You're stuck with me.
Forever. All right. Well, if you want any more information, I've left show notes with all of the link to this nonprofit. As always, you can find me on Instagram at Medium Nikki D or on Facebook at Medium Nikki D. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. I respond to every single message that I get. That's right. Every person that messages me, I respond. I hope you all have a great holiday season, and until the next episode.
Yay. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you.